Hello.
Hello.
Ah, salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer. Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to episode 90 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 28th of March. We are back after what seems to be nearly a month, what with everybody being so busy and stuff going wrong and all that sort of stuff. But we are here and we say hello once again. And joining us, as always, is Juz. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Disney Pod people. Hello, Monday, the 26th of March, listeners.
Yes, and hello, Kez.
Hi, everyone.
We did attempt to record a show last week, didn't we, Kez?
We did.
Just was busy, but when we tried to do it, there was a problem with the sound quality on Skype, and it kept cutting out, and that failed miserably. Mm-hmm. And basically, we just gave it up as a bad job because we've all been so busy. And we basically just went, right, we just can't do a show. So apologies if you were expecting a show and you didn't get one. That will be exactly why.
Congratulations. A whole couple of weeks, 4 weeks free of Adam.
Without us. Which is probably quite a blessing, not having to listen to it for a whole 4 weeks. But we're back anyway with show 90, so that's cool. So let's tell you what's coming on in the show. We're going to ring our Podbean? that's our account. That's your fault, Juz, because we've just been talking about Podbean.
Yes, if anyone's got a podcast using Podbean, have they lost their icons in iTunes?
Yeah, have you lost your logo? Because we seem to have done it. Seems to have
several others.
So I don't know what's going on. Anyway, we're gonna ring our Disney Pod person in a moment. And then we're going to discuss something at the top of the show, and we've got some news, Redbox conversation. And last week, myself and Kez were lucky enough to talk to some guys from Disenchanted, the musical, which is Disney-related, although it's not Disney-official, but we thought it would be well worth sharing with you because It is very, very funny.
Especially what you told me about Mulan.
Yeah, especially what I told you about Mulan. Anyway, let's ring our Disney pod person.
Hello.
Is this Lou?
Hello. It is.
Hello, it's Adam from the Disney Brit Podcast.
Oh, hiya. You're right.
This edition's pod person.
Awesome.
You see, you gave us your phone number and we told you we would ring at some point and we're doing it now. How are you?
Brilliant now.
Brilliant now. Well,
I'm doing some uni work and it's made it all better.
Well, you're doing uni work. What are you doing?
I'm doing some graphic work. It's actually based on Disney.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, making like a kiosk that would be in Disney Parks.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, go on, describe this kiosk to us.
Well, basically, it'd be in Walt Disney World, and I actually got some people on the Vinyl Mation group on Facebook to help me come up with ideas for it. And it'd have like all the queue times, and it'd show you how far away they were, all the weather, so you know if you have to get your Mickey Mouse poncho. What else? It'd have a map. Obviously, because people haven't been there often and won't know where they are. Have another look. What else has it got on it?
That sounds great.
All the local deals and stuff on it.
So, if all else fails, get the Disney community to help you, and then you know you're going to end up with something really, really good. But anyway, as we said, you are a pod person, so we've rung you. So we have to ask you the obligatory questions that we ask everybody, which is, when was your last trip to a Disney park?
May last year to Walt Disney World.
To Walt Disney World. And what is your favourite Walt Disney World theme park?
Probably Hollywood Studios.
Okay, and why Hollywood Studios? Not very often people pick that.
Because that's where I met Woody and Buzz.
Okay, that's fair
my
enough.
My obsessed with fair story. Enough,
fair enough reason. And your favourite Disney attraction?
Probably. I love the Art of Animation.
Oh, wow, okay.
Drawing. I'm not very good at drawing, but I come out of there and it almost looks like the character what I've drawn, which I just think it's awesome. I'll just show you.
I must admit, they are clever. I can't draw, but I always come out with something that looks similar to the character. So They've got some sort of magic going on in there. But being graphics,
it normally looks like some knockoff version of it, doesn't it?
The sort of stuff that comes over on Chinese Vinylmations. Yes, I know the ones. Your favourite Disney resort?
Probably Disney World. Do you mean like out of Disneyland, Disney World,
yeah.
Paris and all
yeah.
that?
Yeah, and then we're going to ask you about Disney your favourite hotel. So Disney World. Have you stayed in any of the Disney hotels?
I've never stayed in the hotels.
But if you could, which one would you go for?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what it's called now. There's one that you go over on the monorail. I'm so excited.
Oh, the Grand Floridian or the Contemporary?
Yes, that's it. The Grand Floridian. That one. Every time we've been, we've only been twice to Florida, but every time we've gone over it on the monorail, it just looks awesome.
Maybe one day. Well, thank you, Lou. I should let you get back to doing your graphics work now and finish off that wonderful kiosk, and we shall carry on with the rest of the show.
Thanks, Lou. Thank you very much. Bye.
Oh, there you go. There's Lou. Blessed Lou. Anyway, we said we were going to do an open discussion. This is something that I heard recently that was sort of going around the rumour mill a little bit. We know that the Muppets movie, which... Have we all seen it now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Juz?
Oh, God, yeah. Brilliant.
We all know it was just ridiculously popular, took millions in the US and in the UK, and was sort of went further than Disney ever believed it probably would. And the rumour mill now is that Disney are planning on making a sequel, and it's going to be without Jason Segel, and also they're thinking about bringing back the Muppet Show to television. So I thought we'd sort of have a bit of a chat about this, because I'm intrigued as to what you think about A, the sequel, and about B, the Muppet Show coming back. So Juz, go on, give us your thoughts on this.
Yes, I think it's rather good.
Is that all I'm getting?
So, to be honest, I didn't know who Jason Segel was. Segel
was like the main guy who had a brother called the brother Gary. He's from like How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, right. I didn't realise he was co-writer as well.
Yeah, he co-wrote it.
I was thinking of the other Segel. I thought, well, I don't remember him being like in that.
Jason
hero.
Segel. Is he Sam the Eagle's cousin?
So what was the question? Sorry, because I was busy looking at it.
They're making a sequel of the movie.
Brilliant.
Do you think it's a good idea? And also, they're thinking about bringing back the Muppet Show.
I'm 1,000,000,000% behind it. Although, in reality, I thought, Muppets. Because I said that to you beforehand when the Muppet movie came, I thought, But then I watched it and I thought it was awesome. Absolutely brilliant. Loved it. Rekindled my interest in the little furry things. I think it's brilliant. Love to see the next sequel and love to see the Muppet Show back, but less music.
Okay.
Singing ruined the show and the film. Why do people need to sing?
No, the singing makes it. I love Muppet songs.
You do not get singing in Avatar.
You can't
be a Muppet film or a Muppet program when you don't have silly singing. And
they could try it. They could just go all the way through. You never have got singing.
It'd be like
in
a Disney
Potter.
Film without songs. And all the best Disney films have songs. Yeah, but that's a different thing, isn't it? It's just like that's serious sci-fi, not sci-fi, fantasy adventure.
Well, that's where they should go.
But that's Muppets.
I don't know. I think you have songs. Man or Muppet won an Oscar. You've got all the songs in the Muppet movie were awesome.
But I would like the movie without songs to a certain degree.
So you'd like a movie without songs?
Yeah, just a Muppet movie.
Well, then you'd end up with something like Muppets Wizard of Oz, which is the biggest pile.
Yeah, it isn't great. Think about how many Muppets movies you've got that have got music in them. Christmas Carol. It's got music in it.
That is one of the best ones.
Muppet Treasure Island,
yeah.
It's got songs in it.
Great
Muppet movie, yeah. It's got songs in it. So it's kind of like
Muppets in Manhattan.
I do think I could watch a Muppet movie and enjoy it more without the singing in it.
So you want them to release a limited edition version that doesn't
have
songs?
Blu-ray, where you skip all the songs.
Don't want to skip it. I just want to talk to you. And they will go, I like that better. Perhaps if Kermit went towards more serious acting rather than the musical genre, he might find more work.
Okay. Now, what about the Muppets? Well, Kez, do you want to talk about the film, sort of this sequel idea?
I like the idea of a sequel. The only thing I didn't really like about the film recently was the random celebrities at the end.
Yeah.
Like Selena Gomez and stuff. I just thought, oh... I don't like when they do that, because if you think back to like the original Muppet Show, and they used to have like really awesome celebrities like John Cleese and Elton John, and all of those episodes were brilliant. And when they have like real iconic stars who actually get involved, rather than just like flashing little bits like Selena Gomez for like 2 seconds, and it's like really pointless. It's the only thing I didn't like, but yeah, I'm definitely up for a sequel. But I don't know, I might like to see them do something, because I do like The Muppets Christmas Carol and Muppet Treasure Island, so I'd kind of like to see them do something like that again.
The take on a classic story.
Yeah, as long as I don't do the Wizard of Oz thing.
Muppets Peter Pan would be quite funny.
That would be good.
That would be quite amusing. I'm kind of concerned that Jason Segel isn't involved in it, because he did such a good job with the first movie that I just wonder whether Disney have made the right choice, him not being involved, but I don't know.
Perhaps he dies, and it's more of a serious movie.
The Muppets and serious movie never fit in the same sentence.
I'd like to see you do a musical there over his grave.
Dancing on his grave?
Yeah.
Lovely. Okay.
That's cheery.
Mm-hmm.
Right, talk about Muppet Show then. The Disney have muted that they might be bringing back the Muppet Show to television. Good idea, bad idea?
Good idea. As long as I said, they go back to the old style show.
The
with
old format.
Yeah. Because they did that Muppet Tonight thing.
They did, about 2008 on Disney Channel. They did something called Studio DC Almost Live, which was like a half-hour special at the Muppets. And
there was one, I think there was one in the 90s as well, called Muppets Tonight, and it was hosted by, is it Clifford? The purple one with the dreadlocks?
Oh, I think you might be right.
Because we used to watch it, I remember, about 7 o'clock at night. I think it was on BBC. And it used to be really good, but I can't remember like back that far. But I don't think they had like the big celebrity influence like the first proper 70s and 80s ones. So I think they need to go back to the original format.
I think you're right, they did.
Yeah.
Like, and it was sort of like that slightly updated version. Because like I said, in 2008, they did the Studio DC thing, Almost Live it was called, which had the Muppets. And it just, for me, did not work at all. I really didn't like it. Because it wasn't Muppets. It was kind of trying to take the Muppets and putting them in a modern setting. Ooh. And if they're going to do it, I think it has to be old-style Muppets. Jazz?
I think they should do a Muppets Got Talent, and whoever wins gets to sing in front of the Queen.
Excellent.
They're appearing on everything at the minute, aren't they? They won the Secret Policeman's Ball the other week. They were at the Oscars. Miss Piggy was on the red carpet at the BAFTAs.
Cravendale Abbott.
You know, I wouldn't rule them not appearing at the Royal Variety Performance at some time soon.
I think I agree with Kez. I think if they do it old style, get rid of the music though. But I think I agree with Kez totally as what she said as well. I think you cannot get D-list celebrities. You've got to get proper A-list celebrities. Yeah. Going back to, you know, there's Bob Hope and all that lot. You really want to get present day A-list celebrities and map it out. And I think then you've got a winner. Because the kids, it's all trash, isn't it? It's all reality shows. I think the younger generation would get straight back into this immediately.
There's so many kids at school have saw the movie and said they absolutely loved it. But it has to be A-list celebrities, because if we look back at sort of the first series and second series of The Muppets, when I watched them, the ones that were, you know, originally from the late 70s, early 80s, there's celebrities on there, and I'm like, I have no idea who they are. No idea in the slightest. But they're the main celebrity for the show. So it needs to be somebody who's got longevity, I suppose, which is, like you say...
A lot of them are dead, to be honest. Fair to them. They can't keep going for longevity.
True. But you think about, like, Selena Gomez.
Just
Selena Gomez was in the film, but come 20 years' time, who's going to know who's...
This is why you need the big movie stars.
Exactly, yeah, definitely.
Hopefully.
Right, there we go. We think The Muppets is a good idea. Two thumbs up from us. Let's do some news.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
So, moving into our news then, let's start off at Downtown Disney, Kez, and Splitsville.
Well, Splitsville is going to be taking over from where the old Virgin Megastore building was, and it's a new bowling complex. It's 50,000 square feet, which is going to be pretty amazing. It's got 30 lanes, and it's going to offer bowling by the hour. So instead of like paying for a game of bowling, you'll pay for the hour and just bowl as much as you can in that hour. And apparently that's to help people who are on holiday at Disney World who, when you play a game of bowling, you don't necessarily know when you're going to finish. So Walt Disney people said that would be a perfect idea because you can slot it in your day better.
Speed bowling.
And it's also going to have a 750-seat dining area.
Wow.
which is pretty immense, and it's going to serve everything from like the traditional like chicken strips and fries and pizza, but also some more upmarket stuff like sushi, and also you can do breakfast there. So if you want to bowl early in the morning, then you can have your breakfast and you can bowl. And they have special pods as well in certain areas where you can eat your food and bowl at the same time.
Oh, that's quite clever. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a 750-seater restaurant. Now, I'm right thinking the new Beauty and the Beast restaurant is 500 seat?
I think so, yeah.
This is even bigger than that.
It's nuts.
They really need 750 seats.
Apparently so.
Seriously.
Or they can just cut half of it and put the Adventurers Club in.
They can do that. Again, I think that's a brilliant idea. I don't know. I'm not the sort of person I think would go bowling on a holiday. Juz, are you...
To be honest, I'm glad it's a bowling. At first, I thought it was a really bad hairdresser's. Brumch. But no, I think you check... This is downtown Disney, wasn't it?
Yeah. So,
phone was ringing, I had to mute myself. This goes back to exactly what I said beforehand. If Virgin are still doing the check-in down there, check in because it's open in the morning, go and get some breakfast, have a bowling while you're waiting to go before you go to the airport. It's a winner.
That's a good point, actually. I didn't think of that. You can have breakfast there when you've checked in, go bowling, get on your bus, and go.
This is why you have me on the show.
That's right.
Cunning plan.
The voice of reason.
And eye candy.
Of course.
And your eye candy. Eye candy for the radio, eh?
Yeah, have you seen the size of me? Like Shamu.
He has
got to be eye candy for radio.
He has got a face for radio, as Juz. Right, moving on to Juz. And we're going over to the resorts. Don't make me play the Jeopardy music again.
Sorry. I really should pay more attention. We're talking about the Animation Resort at Walt Disney World Resort. Art of Animation. There's loads of fantastic pickies on the Disney Brit site. Is there not, Mr. Goodger?
There is. Thank you to our little friend Nick.
And his helicopter.
Nick and his chopper.
Yeah. It looks brilliant, even though some idiot thought they were half done.
Yeah, that was
Yeah, that's me. I thought they hadn't coloured them all in.
Listen to Iron Orlando this week.
Didn't I feel a bit silly? Mm. Anyway, the opening date of the first wing, which I think has come around really quickly, Finding Nemo, is due to open for May the 31st. And Disney Imagineers have now revealed the opening dates for the other three sectors. Cars is June the 18th. Lion King, opens August the 10th. That's 9 days after my birthday. And Little Mermaid, opens September the 15th. Booking for this resort opens today, as in a few days ago. So basically you can get down there and book them. There's got family suites, which I'm chuffed about, because this is the main problem with these sites, is they never had enough family suites. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely going to stay there. Without a shadow of a doubt, it looks brilliant. Even though it was half-painted, I still love it. Very colourful, massive characters and statues. I can't say enough about it. The pictures that Nick took are truly amazing. I'm really looking forward to going to here.
And it's kind of like the next step on for the value resorts, where we had with sort of the movie resorts and the sports and all that sort of stuff, where we had just giant objects at the side of buildings. This is kind of an entire immersive environment within a particular area.
Things clawing up buildings. Which one are you going to? I want Lion King.
I want Cars.
Little Mermaid.
So that's it.
Oh, poor Nemo's not been found.
No, I'm not. Well, Nemo's all right, but definitely Cars.
It's quite definitely Lion King.
See, I'm surprised. I thought you'd gone for Cars. Then again, you've probably not seen it.
Cars is the only film I know that no one can relate to. How can you relate to on an emotional basis with a car? Animals you can relate to because we're living, breathing things. No one can relate to a piece of metal. It's a bit.
That's like Toy Story, though, isn't it? In a way,
no, because they're humanized in human bodies. Little arms and legs and little alien. You can relate to cars.
What about like Up? Can you not? You can relate to a man who floats his house using balloons.
And a giant bird called Kevin.
Yeah,
it's an animal. Humans can relate to animals, which is why we have animals in all the Disney things. What we can't relate to is a car. If it got in a big cushy thing, I'd go yeah. If it was Simba in a cushy thing, it'd be like no.
Okay, he has got a point.
Thank you.
It's still cool though. Cars is cool. You can't deny.
Yeah, cars are still cool.
Yes, cars are cool, but they kill.
Is the ultimate secret agent.
Definitely.
Do they put their seatbelts on before they drive? There's a question. I wonder if John Laston never thought about that one. Okay, let's head into the parks.
Sleepless
then.
Nights over that one.
Let's head into the parks. We're heading over to Epcot Starforth because Kim Possible, her secret missions are drying up, obviously. She is not the secret spy that she once was. And to be honest, she's not the go-to girl anymore. In fact, the go-to person now is Agent P. Perry the Platypus from Phineas and Ferb is going to be moving into Epcot this summer, and he's going to be taking over the Phineas and Ferb Agent P's World Showcase Adventure, which is going to be based upon his secret agent alter ego, which is Agent P. And you're going to be travelling through all of the locations that we already know about within the World Showcase Pavilions in Epcot. But this time, guests are going to have a go at trying to plot Dr. Doofenshmirtz and his daring, dastardly plots that are going to be going on throughout the whole of World Showcase. And Dr. Doofenshmirtz is fantastic anyway. I love Phineas and Ferb. I think this is probably the right idea, taking Kim Possible out, putting Phineas and Ferb in. Nice to see a change. The question is, Phineas and Ferb, popular with everybody? I don't know.
I think so. Because my nephew, he absolutely adores Phineas and Ferb, but Joe is an absolute massive Phineas and Ferb fan.
Is he really?
As am I. Yeah, we've just got the PlayStation 3 Second Dimension game we're playing at the weekend, and it is fantastic. And Agent P is one of our favourites, so I think it's going to re-engage a lot of people, like old and young, to do this.
Anyone in your family just into Phineas and Ferb?
We all watch it until Tracy comes in and tells us to turn it off. But I think this proves the point, the fact that this is the new technologies of attractions. Whereas you used to have to sort of take a whole building down and do stuff. Now, because the beauty of technology is, you can go, do you know what, who's flavour of the day? Phineas and Ferb, whack them in. Year down the line, who's flavour of the day? Change it instantly, it's something else. And this is what can make Disney go to the next level, and they're investing a lot in this because they can make changes really rapidly because the technology now exists to do so.
Definitely.
So every time you go to Disney, if you went every year, if you're a millionaire, then you'd be going and seeing something different every year. And I think it's brilliant, incredible, fantastic.
Same idea with the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, that they can take as much as they want with that and change it and add cards and all those sort of things. But Phineas and Ferb, we watch Phineas and Ferb in my house. I will watch it even if Harry's gone to bed, because I think it is genius. And that the whole idea of having, I'm forgetting his name now, the guy who's in charge of the agency who Perry goes and sees on the big screen. I can't remember his name, it's coming from my head.
Bob.
But having him appear on the screen as you're going through it, and even the humour of Phineas and Ferb is so much better than the humour ever was for Kim Possible. So you're going to have all that added humour as well. No doubt Phineas and Ferb will appear at some point, and Perry and all that sort of stuff will be cool. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great addition. So let us know if you do give that a go. And staying in Epcot, Kez, 30th anniversary.
Yep, I'm quite excited about this, even though I don't get to go this year. Because they had that 25th anniversary 5 years ago, which nearly didn't happen. There was that huge debacle online where a group of fans basically got together and said, we're going to do something.
We just learned that Kez knows maths, because the 30th anniversary means that the 25th anniversary, yes, was 5 years ago.
Yay. Get my gold star for the day.
No.
So basically, they're making a load of cool retro items to celebrate Epcot's 30th, including pins featuring Figment, who is one of my favourite characters. And there's a very cool jumbo pin that's based on a book that was released around opening day of Epcot. And it's like a big softcover book. We've got a picture of it on our website. And it's got a giant pin with all the old school logos for all the sections, like Horizons, etc., make up one giant pin. That looks amazing. And so, yeah, lots of cool retro stuff coming out.
I was just so to see if she's going to say anything else, but she didn't. So
No. There's not much. Like, they haven't released
much. No, there isn't. I don't know whether. It's a shame there's a lot of pins. I'd like to see some other stuff as well.
You should have some Vinylmation.
it
would be cool if they made Vinylmation with all the old school logos on.
That would be cool. 30th, that would be awesome. Juz, excited for pins?
No.
No, I'm not either. Doesn't excite me in the slightest. Sadly.
Vinylmation would have been better.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they will bring out. I think they've just released like a couple of things at the moment, so.
Yeah,
although we're here, but the bloody
But you get the t-shirts and everything with all the retro stuff on, which is cool. So that's good to see. Right, okay, that is Epcot's 30th. We're jumping on a plane, flying over to Disneyland Paris, and the 20th anniversary coming up very, very soon. They've announced a few more things that are coming. Juz.
Yeah, on April the 12th, Tony Baxter, who makes the soups, of course, will be holding a masterclass at Disneyland Paris. He's actually Senior Vice President, Creative Development, Walt Disney World Imagineering, and is responsible for the overall creative direction for Disneyland Resort. He'll be answering questions and talking about Disneyland Paris beginnings, along with some rest of the Disney team, which should be a surprise, because mainly Disneyland Paris haven't told us about anything, and as far as I know from their press releases, they're not even open yet.
That's very true. This sounds amazing.
You know, it starts, they go, let me tell you all about Toy Story, and then someone goes, no, no, we haven't told them about that.
This does sound amazing. Mm-hmm. They did this for the recent birthday for Animal Kingdom, where they had Joe Rohde, I believe it was, take
He's
over
cool.
the theatre.
Yeah.
He spoke about Animal Kingdom. It's like they're doing that for the 20th anniversary with Tony Baxter, that it's going to be everything to do with the beginnings of Disneyland Paris. Because obviously, you know, he was involved in a huge amount of the sort of show sort of scenes and all of that sort of theming that went on with the park when it opened. So it would be really interesting to hear just what he'd got to say. Sadly, I'm not going to be out there. I'm not going to be making it out at all. I know that they're holding it in. Is it the Videopolis?
Yeah.
And it's going to be full to the rafters with people. And it's with it being first come, first served, there's going to be queuing for hours to see this. But it does sound like it's going to be absolutely fantastic and something that I would absolutely love to go and see, but I'm not going to have the opportunity to. But staying in Discoveryland and talking about those 20 years, there was an attraction that was, well, kind of originally appeared in Disneyland Paris a long, long time ago and then was brought back just 18 months ago, and that is Captain EO. Captain EO sort of had a bit of a renaissance with the death of Michael Jackson, and although created in 1986, made its comeback towards the end of summer 2011. And it was, and I think it still is, the most expensive film made per minute. It was in the location of which Honey, I Shrunk the Audience went into, and they sort of took that out, and then it went back in again. And we believe, from what we understand, that Captain EO is going to close as of April the 2nd. So if you are planning on going out there, it is going to be open for a little while longer, but for not too long. The reason April 2nd is because that's the day before when all the 20th sort of anniversary celebration stuff is really going to kick off. So we're expecting it to close just before then. There is no news as what's replacing it. I really, really hope Honey, I Shrunk the Audience isn't coming back. I just think out of the two, Captain EO and that, Captain EO probably is going to be a better pull for people. So I'm kind of got my fingers crossed for Muppets 3D to go in there.
It doesn't fit
at all with the theme. But I would love to see it as it's that 3D venue. So it's well worth sort of going over to see that before that disappears on April the 2nd. If you've never seen it, then over to DisneyBrit.com. Have a look for the post, and it's got the full movie of Captain EO on there. It's also got a two-parter of Captain EO in 3D HD, and it does genuinely work. It's a red and green glasses. If you've got some at home, stick it up on your screen, switch all your lights off, and sit and watch it. And it genuinely does work as a 3D movie as well, which is cool. So, Captain EO going. Sad. You weren't particularly fussed, were you, just about the fact that it was coming back in the first place?
I refuse to make any comments because I've not made any comments on previously. I should keep my mouth shut about it.
Okay. Kez, something to go?
No, not really. It depends what they bring back, though. Because yeah. I did like the fact, because I'd never seen Captain EO before, well, 2011 when they brought it back. And it was quite nice to see it that time, but obviously it didn't have all the effects that the original had, the in-theatre effects.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a shame because it was kind of like only half of what it should have been, so it was a bit disappointing in that respect. And so having seen it like a couple of times now, kind of over it, and I think it was a bit cheeky like bringing it back anyway, because they outed Michael Jackson. They're like, no, we don't want anything to do with you because of all the charges with all the children, etc. and then all of a sudden he dies and they make money off of his death by going, oh, let's bring back Captain EO.
It is, if you look at it
and
that
I
way.
And I really don't agree with that. But...
Yeah, if you look at it that way, that's quite bad. I never really thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. It is sad to see it going. I don't want Honey, I Shrunk the Audience back. It's a waste of time now. Nobody knows that franchise. They haven't made a film out of that franchise for about 15 years. I was glad to see it back. I went out to Florida sort of just after they sort of re-released it in Epcot, and I took Zoe along and said, this is brilliant, you'll love it, and we sat down and watched it, and I kind of watched it going, it's brilliant, but I'm actually quite disappointed, it's nowhere near as good as I remember it being when I was a kid. And I've seen it once or twice since then, and I'm kind of at the point where, yeah, actually I've had enough of that now, I'm happy with that, I've seen it, it can go, I won't miss it. So it is sad to see it go, I suppose, because, unless they've got something much, much better to replace it with. Right, that's all of our news and rumours for this episode. Coming up next is a brand new Redbox conversation.
Woohoo! Sounds more like a tweet.
Every day, a new beginning. Every night, a brilliant end. Discover the wonders of Epcot.
Hello.
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 I bet you didn't expect somebody to be on the other end. You are on the Disney Brit podcast and we're ringing you from the UK. How are you?
I'm very good.
And what's your name?
Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie. Well, we kind of ring the UK phone boxes and just say hello to people, so we thought we'd ring and say hello. So, Stephanie, who are you there with?
My family.
And are you on a vacation?
What?
Are you on vacation?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're there. Who's your family that you're with?
My mom, my dad, my brother.
You sound a little bit embarrassed.
I'm not.
You're not embarrassed. Honestly, it's quite normal. I know you're speaking to an English man in an English phone box in the UK pavilion, and it's probably a little strange. What's the weather like there today?
It's sunny and hot.
Sunny and hot. And is it busy?
Yeah.
And what was the last attraction you went on in the park?
The test track one.
And what did you think?
Fine.
It's a good ride. Really good ride. What are your plans for the rest of the day? Are you staying in Epcot? Are you going off?
Yeah, I'm going to stay, and then I'm going to watch the fireworks.
Have you seen Illuminations before?
No.
Oh, amazing. It is absolutely amazing. You have to go and watch that. In fact, you watch it from the UK. There's a bridge between the UK and Canada. Best place to watch it, honestly. That's my tip for you. Have you been to any of the other parks?
Yeah, I've gone to all of them.
And which one's your favourite?
The Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios. Have you been on Tower of Terror?
Wait, what?
Is that mum in the background saying, who are you talking to?
Yeah, that's my mom.
Put mum on. I want to talk to mum. Put mum on.
Mum, she wants to talk to you.
Hello?
Hello, mum.
From the UK.
We're from the UK. This is the Disney Brit podcast, and we kind of just ring the phone box and say hello to people who pick up.
Oh, that was nice of you.
Well, you know, we just tried to be nice. But so, are you having a good vacation?
Yes, we are.
And have you had any sort of real favourite moments so far?
I don't know, a lot of favourite moments. I love Fantasmic.
Fantasmic, amazing.
Yeah.
And tonight is Illuminations, I believe.
We're going to do that tonight.
Yeah, have you seen it before?
No.
It's awesome.
Is it awesome?
Yeah, it really is awesome.
Good.
Well, anyway, no doubt you never expected to pick up a phone box in the UK pavilion and talk to an Englishman today, so I will leave you to get on with the rest of your vacation.
All right. You have a good one, too.
And you too. Oh, who wants to talk to me?
Okay, hold on. Where are you?
I'm in England, in a place called Leicester.
No, you're not.
Oh, no, I really am. I really am in England.
No, because I got this number, and then I was calling people on the phone, and it was really funny.
No, I promise you, I am genuinely in the UK. I'm not hiding behind a bush anywhere. I'm really in the UK.
Are you in
Epcot?
No, I'm in the UK. I'm actually in England.
How did you get this number?
Oh, because I just know the number. I promise you I'm in England. Anyway, I promise you I'm in England. Anyway, I must leave you and let you enjoy your vacation.
Okay.
All right, you have a great time.
You too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Now, you know we're not an ordinary Disney podcast. We like to say exactly what we think. We like to share all of our thoughts, whether they be good or bad. And we also like to share some different elements of Disney. Although they're not officially Disney, they're linked in some way. And you will have seen over on our website, disneybrit.com, over about a month or so ago, Kez found this wonderful video to do with Disney princesses. But it's not the Disney princesses you would expect. And along with those themes, Kez also introduced me to this fantastic musical written by Dennis Giacchino called Disenchanted. And basically, it's an opportunity for people to look at a bit of a tongue-in-cheek, slightly cheeky, slightly adult version of just what the Disney princesses might really be like. And we welcome Dennis Giacchino. can you imagine your word, Disney? Dennis Giacchino and a group of people to the show. So welcome, Dennis.
Hi, thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm Dennis Fiele. So
oh, no, don't confuse anyone. We're changing names. So do you want to sort of, introduce who you have there? Because you've got quite a few people surrounding your microphone.
Okay, sure. I've got a lot of the creative team and then some wonderful actors who originated some of these roles in the show. So to my left is Fiele Matias. He is the off-Broadway director of the show. The show, of course, being planned for a possible off-Broadway run toward the end of the year. To my right, then, I've got...
Hi, can I say hi?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, sorry. Say hi.
Now he's allowed. And then to my right, of course, I've got Snow White, who is played by Michelle Knight.
Hello there.
Hello.
And, she was in Jersey Boys here in New York City. Actually, I'm overlooking Times Square, and I see a big building-sized poster of Jersey Boys behind her. So that's sort of kismet. And then I've got Lisa Sleeper here, who's really done nothing in New York.
Yeah, nothing. I live here. This time. Not now, but I was born here.
Interestingly enough, Lisa Sleeper is playing and has originated the role of a Sleeping Beauty, so it's it fits name-wise. Mm-hmm. And then far off to my right over here is Krista Miller, and she's the secondary princess, so she kind of plays a little bit of Princess Badroubledore, who you may know better as, sometimes they call her Jasmine. And let's see, also Esmeralda. And then someone that we affectionately call the Bitter Pixie, who you might also know. So go ahead, Krista, say hi.
Hi. I'm secondary. I don't get much.
We won't go there. So that's everybody in the room.
Excellent.
Brilliant. Okay, so for people who haven't seen Disenchanted, how would you describe it for the audience?
Yeah, Disenchanted is the original public domain, mind you, original fairy tale storybook princesses who we take as being real people and being alive. And they are, in a sense, coming out and musically kvetching, comically fighting back and taking their lives back from pop culture and saying, well, here's who we really are in a very funny, tongue-in-cheek way. Mm-hmm. In their own vaudeville show that they've decided to take on the road. So they storm the castle. It's like going to the Bastille and saying, come on now, this is us.
I love the fact that you call it vaudeville, because I think that's exactly what this is. This is kind of like taking characters that become really popular in popular culture and then putting it into that old sort of cabaret style of show, very much like some things previously, things like, I think, Alter Boys was an off-Broadway that was very much that same sort of style, but put in a very sort of popular culture way. Now, you talked about, obviously, you have different characters like the Bitter Pixie and the Secondary Princesses, which we, obviously, as Disney fans, can see where the inspiration came from. But, yes, you know, what was the actual overall inspiration for this? You know, how did this project come about for you?
Well, I used to be a history teacher, and you know, there was one day where I literally was teaching in class, and I was teaching Pocahontas, and sure enough, you know, the movie kind of came to mind, and sort of Pocahontas pop culture, and the question came to me: gee, I wonder what the original Pocahontas thinks about the way she looks today. And that kind of started the ball rolling. And then I kind of realized, well, you know, each princess kind of has a gripe. And so I started to explore that. And then they started to sing in my ears. I know it's going to sound very weird and ethereal, but it's true. They didn't leave me alone until I wrote their song. Or in some cases wrote another song because they said, no, that first song sucks. So, yeah, so that was how the ball started rolling, was with my history teaching.
Brilliant. So I know they're based, like, loosely on some of the – there's some Disney aspects, especially with some of the costumes. Have you faced any legal issues with Disney over any of this?
That's a great question. No. As a matter of fact, we've had quite a few Disney folks come and take in the show. I don't know, Michelle, why don't you talk a little bit about that? Michelle Knight, Snow White. And go ahead and tell us a little bit about the reaction of some of the Disney folks who see the show.
Well, what's really interesting is that the three ladies here in the room currently work for Walt Disney World Entertainment in Orlando, and we have lots of our friends and coworkers come to see us in the show and rave about it. Can't wait to tell us how much fun they've had taking a poke at the ideal that Disney's princesses set up for younger women. And
I hear laughing on that side.
we've got nothing but positive responses from, you know, our production managers and friends and family.
Brilliant.
And I think we're all Disney files ourselves. Absolutely. You know, we all are huge Disney fans. It's no Fiale, maybe you want to speak to this, Fiale, the director. I mean, we've all worked for Disney, you know, at one time or another. I did, Fiale has, and yeah.
In terms of the legal aspect of the show, I think Disney has commandeered the princesses. So a lot of people think that they own the actual Snow White character and the Cinderella character, when in fact, we dip in the same well that Disney did, which is the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where we are under, and that's why we don't have any kind of legal issues to deal with. In terms of costumes, that's more of an artistic choice between the productions that have already licensed our show.
Yeah.
And that's, but when we do the show, our intent is that these are the original princesses, and that they may hint at some of the things that Disney or other productions have done, but we don't out and out make them look like it, because those are copyrighted materials that Disney owns.
Mm-hmm.
And Krista has more to that
well,
answer.
Well, I just think that what you did is took what you perceived as the reality of it and challenged the newer perceptions.
That's it.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, and legally, specifically, to answer your question, legally, you know, obviously, you know, there are legal involved, and there's no copyright infringement in the show. I specifically wrote it that way. And any kind of comparisons to pop culture, that kind of thing, are certainly, you know, protected rights under the American Constitution.
I think we have to make it very clear as well that, you know, this show is designed to be a fun look at the Disney princesses. You know, I don't think it was written, Dennis didn't write this to say, right, let's have a go at Disney, let's have a go at the Disney princesses. No. It is very much, it's almost like, as you say, you're all Disney files. It's kind of like a Disney fan's opportunity to put their take on the thing that they love.
That's exactly it. It's and go ahead, Lisa Sleeper, the Sleeping Beauty.
What's funny is when we did the show in Orlando, like the Mecca,
of Walt Disney World, and it got such a great outpouring of response, even from the community, not only with Disney, and the support we get from our cast members, you know, that was amazing.
And the higher ups at
and
Disney.
The managers, yeah. directors, everybody came to see it. They supported us creatively, and what's really great is they get it. They get what they're trying to do with it.
Yeah.
And exciting.
Yeah, we're not taking anybody to task on this. A Disney spoof or a Disney, you know, condemnation did not interest me.
You see,
that wasn't interesting to me.
Go ahead. Sorry, I was just saying, you know, what you're saying about that and about, you know, obviously that Disney really like, and it's that spoof. I just think, you know, the new Downtown Disney in Orlando needs some new entertainment now the Comedy Warehouse is gone.
Definitely.
Here's your opportunity.
Krista's from the Comedy Warehouse. Yeah. She's got to work, people.
I love the Comedy Warehouse. This would be an amazing opportunity to put it in where the Comedy Warehouse used to be. That'd be fantastic.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've had people actually very well mention that to us, that at some point, you know, that might be something for people to look at and say, you know, embrace this through the corporation and say, let's have a little, you know, let's have a little fun and good natured fun. It's all good natured.
Yeah, it's just a little fun.
Yeah. Let's move it to Fairley, because just like all good directors, he sat in the corner and not said anything. Dennis, obviously...
also so not him.
No, obviously Dennis wrote the play. He's obviously seeing everything that's going on with this, and you have got to take hold of this and put it through a creative process that both pleases the audience, the directors, the actors. So how do you sort of go about doing it with something like this?
Well, Dennis and I have been working together for about 21 years.
Okay.
So... what I love about his work is that there is a ton of comedy in his music, but it's always rooted in truth and honesty. So he always has a social statement, but we never make any of our social statements artistically very heavy-handed. We love comedy, and that's what I love about his work and the way people relate to this show is that when they watch a show, they laugh all the way through it, but it touches their heart, and that's why they come back 3 and 4 times, and they bring back 15, 30 people. We've had groups of 15 to 30 people just come to the show. I approach the show just based on the fact that I'm just so passionate about his work in statement, and we're just passionate about making people laugh, ultimately. And so that's how I approach the work, if that makes sense. And we just cast a great bunch of people who are talented like we do, and then it just sets it over the top.
It's certainly one of those musicals, I think, that you could attain that sort of cult status to, if you know what I mean. You know, it's done in a style and done in a way, and it's so unique that, like some of the other sort of stage shows in the past that have that sort of cult following, Disenchanted seems to have started to gather that.
It definitely has that. Our Facebook page just keeps growing, and people have become very fanatical about it. They've seen the show 5-6 times. We actually just gave 2 tickets away for the New York reading, and there's a girl who's flying up from Orlando to come see the reading. She wanted to come see it so badly. So, did you guys have any other?
This is Michelle talking now.
No way.
I personally have had a couple of fans make merchandise for me. They made some T-shirts with my face on it and
nice
one of the token lines for the show.
Yes, I am.
The other two are very jealous. All of
sorry, y'all.
Yeah, it's really. This is Dennis again. It's really reached. Really kind of jumped off at that cult status. For instance, right here in New York, the two of the readings are already completely, you know, booked out.
Wow.
And full. We have a third one that we went ahead and added, which will now seat 3 times as many people as the first one, and that's already starting to look full. So yeah, it seems to get this whole sort of you know, fever pitch about it. And another great example is we've licensed the show out to several places up and down the eastern seaboard of the United States, and to community theaters, college theaters, and just sort of to try the show out with different audiences. And those shows have all sold out. They've all extended their runs. The one in Philadelphia right now just extended their run. It's a small community theater. They usually only seat about 80 to 100 people. They added more chairs, got it up to 200 seats, sold those out, just added another day that just sold out within 3 days. So yeah, it gets this cult feeling with people all over the country. So it's great fun.
That's amazing. So what's been the most fun thing about creating Disenchanted?
All the cast pointing to themselves. Yeah, well, that's true. Yes, Lisa, what's been the most fun for you, Lisa?
What's great about these
creating
guys,
the roles?
What's great about these two is I've worked with them for over 15 years doing other shows. First of all, that they are so clever, and they let you do what you need to do in a role. They can let you play if they you can go as far as you want. They pull you back and they try or not. Or you know, you have to splail yourself out.
That word, by the way, was splail. I'm not sure. Heard that word.
Yeah, that's not an American.
That's
just not English.
That's
it's
just
a sleeper.
It's a Lisa sleeper.
No, but I gotta say, I'm joking aside. These guys let you do what you need to do, and they make it so easy to do that, to be who you are in these shows. So it's a joyful ride with them.
Oh, that is so nice. That's a great audition for your off Broadway show.
I'm in.
I think the most fun is actually looking at the different princesses as they're written, mm-hmm. and just kind of skewing them a little, kind of twisting the stories a little bit, and then bringing it into a rehearsal, and then watching the women take them over and own those characters, and just watch them come to life. That's been the most fun for me as the writer.
As a director and an audience person, the most fun for me has been watching people actually come in and say, you know what, I've been thinking about exactly what you've been saying on stage for years, and I'm so glad that you have said it. And I think mm-hmm. that was one of the key things that make people come back and say, finally, someone is saying this, you know, these things about yeah. Princess Complex and about Disney Princess, the fun and the serious stuff. So.
And I think about just life in general. You know, you mentioned the Mulan song, earlier on, where we try to work these on three different levels. You know, the first level is sort of that pop culture princess level. And then we try to make it, work on very much comedy level, of course. You know, we love to entertain. And then thirdly, there's sort of that human level to each song where Mulan is sort of about sexual identity, you know, that song. Mm-hmm. But really anybody can walk away and say, so are you saying because I'm different, that means I'm not a viable person? Mm. And that's really yeah. what that song is about. So even if you're not, let's say, gay, you can still relate to that song on a human level. And I think we have that in each of the songs.
Now, you talk about their songs, when we talked earlier, but that never made it and things that you took out and you wrote songs that people didn't like. I've got yeah. a question sort of for our three princesses, which is there a princess that doesn't feature in the show that you would really like to see included?
Wow. I think it's been really fun watching everybody grow in the process as the cats grow together. Mm. And everybody ups everybody else's game. It's like, dang, she was just funny. So I got to find that. But if there's somebody that's not featured, I'm not sure.
The Pocahontas story that we just added yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a good example. I have anything to do with the writing of the show in any capacity. But, you know, Pocahontas has taken a couple of different roles within a couple of different versions of this show thus far, and it's really interesting as an actress who's not playing Pocahontas to watch the different aspects of her story being yeah. presented in different ways, and I don't really think that there's anybody that's not represented.
There's one for me, Adam and Kez, that isn't in the show anymore that I would have loved to have kept in the show, but mm-hmm. she's not a princess, but she sings such a great duet with Belle from the book Beauty and the Beast, mm-hmm. and that's Jane Porter, and it's Belle and
from
Jane
Tarzan,
Porter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Called Beast of Burden, they compare why do women fall in love with the men beasts, if you will, that they do. And I miss that song in the show, and perhaps someday we'll be able to bring Jane Porter back to the fold. That would be
great. That would be great. Yeah, that would be good. And then
people talk about using... Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just saying, people like Rapunzel, I don't think you have in there at the minute, do you?
Oh, we have added Rapunzel to the show.
Okay.
It's not on a CD. I'll be more than happy to send you...
Exclusive.
It's a great song. It's about merchandising and how upset she is with the fact that she... and I'll get to the title of the song. How she finds herself on tea sets and t-shirts and even on your Swatch and Pampers and whatnot. And what does she get? Not one red cent. And so the song is called Not One Red Cent. It's sung with a very strong German accent. Think Mel Brooks German accent.
Wagnerian.
Very Wagnerian, very dark, very over the top. It's a lot of fun, and it's just a great role in the show, and so we're very excited to have added Rapunzel to the show. Sure.
Now, before we let you go and stare a little bit more into Times Square, we need to let people know a little bit about how they can see the show, how they can get hold of the soundtrack and all that sort of stuff. But I think we need to know, because we're a UK podcast. Is there any plans to bring the show to the UK?
Everybody's cheering because we'd love the UK. And we would love to bring the show there. At this point, the producers that we're dealing with now, our focus right now is to take it off Broadway, possibly Broadway and nationally. Mm-hmm. And but there are some contacts that are being made in London.
Wow.
We're all just in talks right now, but please... Keep the faith and keep the word out there. Fans can reach us on our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/disenchantedmusical.
Yeah.
Or you can go to our website, disenchantedmusical.com.
And they can buy is it from Amazon or iTunes?
They can find the music under iTunes, under Dennis Giacchino or Bitches of the Kingdom.
There you go.
Find it on Amazon. You can find it on CD Baby. You can find it on iTunes. And I believe there's also a place that links to it off the Facebook
page. Yeah, the Facebook page is a link. But if you do a search on iTunes, you can find it easily.
And you can really own kind of a piece of history of this show, because that CD was recorded by the original New York City Workshop cast. And so a lot of the songs have grown, so you're gonna want, and I'm not trying to do a sales job, but I think it's really fascinating that you can get sort of original versions of those songs and kind of compare to what they are now when we make what we hope will be the off-Broadway or Broadway cast recording of the show.
Fantastic. Well, if you do want to find out a little bit more about the show, you can go to disenchantedprincess.com. You can go over to Amazon, iTunes, or something like that. You know, truly, if you get the chance to listen to this album, it's brilliant. It's kind of taking Disney, and then it's adding like a Shrek kind of humour to it. It's kind of like Disney meets Shrek, which meets musical, which meets just outrageous brilliantness for adults. And if you do get a chance to see it, or even listen to it, then do. Well, thank you, Dennis and friends, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
We wish you all the luck. And hopefully, because we've got Dennis, who obviously owns all the copyright to everything, hopefully he might let us play a song on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
You pick what you want, and you play it as many times as you like.
In that case, we will pick a song, and we will put it on the show this week. I don't know which one. I'm looking through the list now and going, oh, I don't know. There's so many good songs. But anyway, we should...
You're so nice. Thank you. I'm so glad.
I know, and if you ever want a Prince in it, I'm available for a very cheap rate.
we will be discussing.
Right. Brilliant. Well, thank you, guys.
Beauty.
We will speak to you again soon, I'm sure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Did you hear that? Why? That's the clock upon the mantle, and he talks about timely things. I've a teapot in my kitchen, who whistles and walks and sings. Have you heard my candelabra? all his French meanderings. This is not the way my story used to be. Now everything around me chatters and is compelled to chew the fat. Even the Jell-O mold tells tales of old. How preposterous is that? And some of them sound Brit, and some speak en français. I find that I'm trapped in a fairy tale done by Disney way. And I look in, saying, can't you see? I've completely lost my mind. I'm insane. I've left reality far behind. I'm the girl from Classic Lit who babbles on now like a twit. With pottery, furniture, carpeting, I must admit that I'm insane. The bakeware often greets me like some heavenly kitchen choir. I just took a stroll with the casserole, had a chat with the deep fat fryer, and the muffin tin and the rolling pin talk incessantly. I'm no liar. When a girl speaks with her ladle, it's time to retire.
The end of the show. Thank you very much once again for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the Redbox conversation and the Disenchanted interview and that little bit of music that may have had a few rude words in it. But Disenchanted, you can get hold of all of the album and everything over on iTunes and Amazon and those sort of places. You can go and grab those, so do make sure you do if you quite like the show. Well, that's it. As I said, thank you once again for joining us. Thanks to our sponsors, that is touringplans.com. you can go over to touringplans.com and see them. Also, click through from the website. There's a banner there on the right hand side. You can click on that, and that lets them know that you've come from Disney Brit, so please do that. Thanks again to Juz.
Thank you. Pleasure.
And Kez.
Right, I'm finished, yeah. Okay. Bye. Love you. Miss you. You're the best. You make me.
I break you. And Kez as well.
Bye, guys. Have a magical week.
See, that was much more professional.
Okay. Have a magical week and magical weekend.
Ooh. Oh, you're going for the 7-dayer. I like it. Make sure you email us your questions, comments and suggestions podcast at disneybrit.com. You can ring our voicemail on
407-545-7980.
Still you out with that every single week. Make sure to check out our website, disneybrit.com, for all the latest news and rumours and everything that's going on over there. You can check our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page. You can also friend up myself, Juz, Kez. We're all over there. Mouse Mag, 1st of April, should be the new edition of Mouse Mag. Do check that out. You can download that from magcloud.com, or you can download it through the MagCloud iPad app as well. Thank you to those of you who've left us some reviews on iTunes recently. Really, really helpful. You can also listen to Eye on Orlando and Universal Adventures. And what else have we got coming out the bag? Juz?
Sorry, what? I wasn't paying
attention. We've got Eye on Orlando. We've got Universal Adventures. We've got Busch Gardens coming up.
Busch Gardens, yeah. I think Destination Disney might be back. Yeah, there's tons. Millions of them.
A lot shorter, but all coming back to
5 minutes.
Orlando Sky Radio, which is over at orlandoskyradio.com. And that's pretty much everything. And all I have left to tell you is that the next show will be out on Wednesday, the 11th of April.
Or Tuesday,
the 10th of April.
Is that Easter?
It might be. But it'll be Wednesday, the 11th of April. So until then, we'll see you.